In the world of Lyrica and the Indrian Empire, the use of Hextech is prominent. Ruins speckled with mysterious obelisk spires covered in impression and runes that no one fully understands. At Seaborn Academy of the Arcane and Creative Studies, one of the 13 rival academies in the nation, four third-year students are placed in a team to go to their first official adventure. Will Sibia, Iggy, Prince Rabfaz, Zoop, and her companion Alfredo the Duck be able to solve the mystery, or will they die before they get a chance? You have to listen to find out. Last time on Dragon Ball Z. I think I have to say that every time now. It's part of the stick. We met Eli and his monkey, winged golden monkey, Kazneen, who offered us porridge. Zoop talked to us telepathically for the first time, which Rabat responded out loud, and Iggy was like, hello? Who the fuck is this, basically? But we figured it out. We found out that Eli dispelled all the braziers in the area. There were five of them total. There was something inside that was in acid, and then he dispelled them, found out they have a necklace that helps with the fear. Zoop is positive that he insulted us because he said we seem like we're from Seaborn. It's potential, but it's okay because we found out that he was a warlock, opener of the way, and Iggy got very excited. We had a weird conversation in front of him about ducks being, and Alfredo being the best duck, and how there's a nemesis that's a goose named Marinara now, and how Zoop hates all other birds, basically, because they're not Alfredo.
Harsh.
True.
He says he has to go as we take some more porridge, and he uses his two cards to clean up the tent area and the cooking area, and the cards magically have a picture of the thing that they picked up on the card. Iggy said, you need to teach me that. They said, if we meet again, or they may die. That was very weird. We go to the miners. I almost said the moaners. We go to the miners.
Same thing.
that are moaning and screaming and laughing, trying desperately to get into the mine. Rab stealths up and casts calm emotions, and it does have some effect. But as the rest of us try to sneak up, we don't do as well, and they all turn to face us. That is when Rab uses his turn undead / destroy undead. Five of the small zombies are killed instantly. Two are left, and then two of the three bigger warrior-like zombies are frightened away. One remaining. So we fight the rest of them, sans one who ran far, far away. Between all of us, we kill everybody, ganging up on the last remaining one. We notice that one of them is actually a sailor, and as Iggy is searching all the bodies, she finds that one of the warriors is the deputy of Northfall. The man that is a sailor has a tattoo of a crown on a skeletal face with an open mouth as if it's yelling or screaming with two teardrops, which she recognizes with a natural 20 that this is the signal for a ship that sails the Blood Seas traveling around the coast. That's a ghost story about the Wailing Queen, a ghost ship that emerges from the mist filled with nasty creatures that takes down merchant ships that have rare artifacts. And that's it.
Right. Okay.
That was 2 minutes shorter than last time.
Cool.
Proud of me.
Very good.
So, Sibia, you think you can pick this lock? Let's have a look at it then.
I can't pick it, but I have a spell that I can get, maybe deal with one of the locks as long as there's not more than one lock.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
I can cast Knock.
Yeah, let's do it. It'll make a bit of noise, but I think we've already made quite a bit of noise.
It's choose an object that you can see within range. The object can be a door, a box, a chest, a set of manacles, a padlock, or another object that contains a mundane or magical means that prevents access. A target that is held shut by a mundane lock or that is stuck or barred becomes unlocked, unstuck, or unbarred. If the object has multiple locks, only one of them is unlocked.
How many locks does this have again?
Two. We've got
that we're aware of, it's two, unless each of them is three. So there's six.
Well, let's find out. Well, actually, I'll go and have a look, because I'll use my investigate to see if this is too complex a mechanism.
Okay, so on the right side, you had already kind of figured out what the combination of the three keys needed to be in the separate holes. You move the keys to that combination, and the hammer on the dwarven statue begins to raise up as the chains begin to roll up, and there's a loud gear click on the door. And so you do know that there has to be some sort of combination of the keys that go within the lock. I would say that because the whole system is probably together under something similar to the arcane lock spell, that the knock spell would work in this case.
Oh, yeah.
So under the spell, there's some clicking mechanisms that happen, and then the hammer pulls up from the dwarven statue, and then the iron gates begin to creak open. And then as you have casted that spell, there is a extremely loud, audible thunk of wood coming from that area. And then in the distance, you begin to hear the screaming and laughter and crying from the last remaining creature, and it begins to get a little bit louder as it begins to come back.
We have company coming soon.
The large iron gates open for you.
Why don't we just wait until it comes back and kill it before it gets here?
I was kind of saying we should probably kill it so it's not sitting out here like these guys seem gone.
Well, yeah. I'll get inside. We can close the doors. It will lose
depending it. On how fast it can move, I can probably get off like 3 or 4 attacks on it with Eldritch Blast.
I mean, I'd rather take care of something now than take care of it later. Procrastination is the key to getting fucked in the ass.
No, I thought it was relaxing. All right.
So what are you all doing?
Okay. I'm waiting until it's 120 feet and shooting it with Eldritch Blast.
Okay, so you wait for a little while. Sibia, you know that your spell lasts for 10 minutes, so you have a little bit of time, but it shuffles on into your range, firing a few Eldritch Blasts, and
everybody else is just going to chill touch as well.
And, yeah. Okay, and then arrows and whatnot from Zoop.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Vicious mockeries.
Okay, vicious I guess I could do a vicious mockery.
All of us waiting again.
It's just blasted by all these spells and arrows. I'm gonna roll a couple times to see if it even like if it reanimates. Okay, so the first time that you blast it a whole bunch and then it falls face down, and then you wait there for a couple seconds.
Oh, no, but if I hit with chill touch, it can't regain hit points till the start of my next turn. So it doesn't matter though.
Okay, so it'll. So we'll say that in there sometime, just for sake of the story, we'll say that it falls down onto its face, and then it begins to move again and starts to slowly crawl its way over towards you, lifting itself up. And then you fire a bunch more times at it with magic spells and arrows, and it's like shuddering, getting hit with all of this stuff. That time it falls onto its back and then rolls down a little of the dirt path, and you're waiting and waiting, and doesn't seem like there's any sort of movement. Okay, so it seems like you're free and clear of the last remaining creature. The doors have opened inward from the iron gates. There's 3 corpses in front of the iron gates, and then as you look into the interior, it's pretty dark, but you do see that there's a small light down the tunnel. The rails go farther, deeper into the mine entrance, and then with a little bit of light that you can see, there seems to be several more bodies on the inside of the tunnel as well.
Do any of them look like the mine owner that we've been asked to meet?
All of these bodies appear to be miners. At least one of them on the outside appears to have a couple growing mouths and an eyeball in a very weird place. But all of the other bodies on the inside and on the outside appear to be not deformed in any sort of way. It looks like they're clawed or punched or hit to death from what you can tell from just looking at them.
Well, you did bring up the subject of necromantic, magic before. I have kind of, worked a little bit with talking with dead people now and again. But maybe we should wait till we find somebody a bit more important to chat to.
Okay.
Yeah, let's look for the mine leader, right?
Yeah, okay. Might have a little word with him. Unless he's alive, in which case we'll definitely have a word with him. Otherwise, I'll summon his spirit from the beyond the ether and that, yeah.
While we're in this area too, though, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to keep an eye out as we travel for, traps. Just, don't want to die because something's left behind.
Okay. As soon as we enter, I'm going to make sure there's a way to exit from the inside.
from the inside. Yeah, there's two mechanisms that need to be pulled at the same time in order to close the iron gates. And then you would need to raise the levers in order to open the iron gates, but you have to do it at the same time. So that can be done if you wanted to close the gates.
Well, they're going to close automatically when the knock spell dissipates.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to be sure. Do we need to save a spell slot or can we actually open it mundane reasons?
Yes, you can open it through mundane mechanisms. Okay. So you make your way down the tunnel and you walk for a few minutes and then eventually you hear the iron gates close behind you. It's really dark in here, so any of you without dark vision, it's very hard to see, but there is a singular, what looks like a torchlight coming from off the distance. It seems like it's pretty far down the tunnel here.
Zupa's gonna call out telepathically, or because she just likes to, even though she could easily speak. And she's gonna say, I can't see anything. Can someone, like, hold my hand and make sure we don't get separated?
Sure, I have dark vision.
Okay.
I think I might just light a torch, to be honest.
But I also have dancing lights.
Yeah, that's
Zupa's
even better.
Still holding his hand.
I'm holding your hand either way, and then dancing lights turns on.
Yeah.
Okay, so with some light to illuminate your path, you make it towards the one lit torch that is down the mine shaft. So you approach and there appears to be just a closed wooden door, and then the mine veers off into four different directions. The railway kind of divides itself at this point, but you are pretty much well within the mine at this point. But the door in front of you is closed that has the lit torch next to it.
Well, let's try that one. Any tracks around here?
Go ahead and make a survival or investigation check.
Oh, I might go for investigation since I'll just stick with survival. So that's a 13.
A 13? So yeah, it looks like there has been a lot of foot traffic. You can see that there is one set of boot prints that is going back and forth to the front of the gate and then to back to this door. But it looks like the footprints lead to this door.
All right, I reckon we should go in. What do you think?
You reach out towards the door handle and it's locked.
Do you have something that can unlock it?
I mean...
Is knock already... What's the cooldown on knock?
I think anyone's got any, lockpicks.
Probably have lockpicks too.
Don't know if anyone's got, skill.
Do you have thieves tools or lockpicks or anything?
I do not have lockpicks. Who am I? Let's see.
I mean, worst case scenario, we just blast the door down.
I mean, it is just a spell slot. I could just use knock again.
But it's very loud.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody within, 300 feet of us is going to hear me if I do that. So does anybody else have a better idea? Or should we just look around?
What if we did pass without trace in conjugation with knock? Because then, even if they hear us, they can't detect us.
I don't think that's how that works.
Iffy. Seems real iffy.
I don't think that works quite together.
I was going to say, no matter what, they'll still try and come this way because they'll be like, what was that?
I have an idea.
Stealth message.
Hold on. Can I cast infestation and make termites appear? Is it a wooden door?
Yeah, it is a wooden door. What type of damage does the infestation do?
Poison
damage. how much damage does it do?
2d6.
2d6.
But it's a cantrip, so I can just keep casting it.
Okay.
Poison the door to death?
Fleas or other parasites. I'm assuming termites are parasites.
Yeah, we'll say over the course of over a few castings of infestation, you can eat away at where the handle and locking mechanism is for the door.
Honestly, I'm sure that worked.
Iggy, you are so strange and I love you so much.
You, as you're doing this, you kind of hear something on the other side of the door, and then you hear some footfalls, and then there's a soft scream come from the opposite side of the door, and then there's some footfalls that come towards the door, and then you hear, who's there?
Room service?
We're from a Seaborne Academy. Here to help you out.
Are you alive?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
We're a very talkative zombie.
Let me check.
Incredibly so.
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know how to take a pulse.
Sorry, I've had a rough few days, so I'm sorry.
Why is there screaming?
I'm just gonna quickly cast mending on the lock. No, I'll wait till he opens it.
There's like a shuffle of a couple locks, and then the door opens slightly, and you can see that there's a chain on the lock. And he looks through. He's like, so you're from Seaborn.
Yeah, and who are you? What?
I'm Rob Faz.
Snoop does not give away her identity.
I'm just too friendly.
Marshall Dalmond. It's been a rough couple days. I'm sorry.
From North Falls.
Are you here to try to get me out of here?
We're trying to get anybody out of here. But that's not dead.
We're trying to find out what happened here. But yeah, obviously we'll.
Here, let me let you in. And he unclicks the chain and then opens the door for you all. And you can see that this is kind of like a mess hall area. There's a few tables set out here with a bunch of chairs. There is a fire that is going on the opposite side of the room that looks like it's in some sort of chimney space, a fireplace with a chimney. And then illuminated by the fire, appears to be like a huddled figure that's casting a shadow on it, so you can't quite tell who or what it is, but it appears like it's just kind of huddled and curled into a ball.
Does my dark vision help at all?
Yeah, actually your dark vision would help. So you can tell that Marshall Dalmond is a dwarf with long black hair, braided black beard, and then he's wearing similar armor to those warrior type zombies that you had fought outside. He kind of shuffles you inside, and as you're looking at the figure, you see another dwarf that has shorter tan hair, shorter brown hair, and then the shaved sides, and then the beard is very scraggly, unkept. And you would know that dwarves really like to keep their beards very, very nice. And this dwarf looks like it's seen some better days. And then you notice that there are manacles tied very tightly to the legs and feet of this dwarf. You're approaching closer and closer to it, and Marshall Dalmond says, I've been waiting and waiting. Those things out there, they jumped on us, and we couldn't escape. They got my deputy and the other rangers. So,
Speaking of, I reach into my bag and hand him the deputy badge.
He looks at it, and he looks really somber and is silent for a few moments and looks up at you and thank you.
Good news is he's not undead anymore.
Well, I'm glad that she finally found some rest. And then he pockets the badge. I found the warden in here. He's really, really bad. Really worse for wear. And then you hear like a scream come out from the warden now. And then underlying the scream, you just hear, kill.
Oh, man.
Is he like gray skinned?
As you're approaching closer, you do notice that it's almost like he's in the effects or in the progression of whatever happened outside. There's a third eye growing on his forehead above his right eye, and then you notice that his shirt is kind of torn, and then on his chest there's like a little mouth that seems to be breathing. His skin is almost completely grayed, but it's like he's in the throes of it.
I like whispered to Zoop, can you try to do this spell?
Sure.
The one you did on us to stop the effects. Maybe he's not too far gone.
I've got an idea. I can try. Yeah. Is that dispel magic? I mean, that's more powerful. I've also got remove curse.
Think about this. Iggy does not know that you cast Lesser Restoration because she doesn't know that spell, but you cast Lesser Restoration on us when we are trapped inside the red mist. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that that spell will undo what is happening to him, or at least stop it from progressing further if he's not too far gone.
Can I try and actually work out which would be the best one to cast of those three using Arcana? Because I don't want to waste a spell slot.
Sure, go ahead and roll Arcana. And you're determining between Lesser Restoration, Remove Curse, and what else?
Dispel Magic.
Dispel Magic, okay.
A 19 or a 19.
Okay, so you would know that the Dispel Magic is probably not for the best case for this scenario. The Remove Curse and Lesser Restoration will probably do something to help the effects that Warden Brayden is suffering right now.
All right, well, let's try the... Let's try Lesser Restoration.
Yeah, so then Zoop will cast it. So Zoop will reach out and touch Warden on the shoulder. Be okay. Like, and cast Lesser Restoration.
As you're reaching out towards the Warden, the Marshal comes, like, jumps in front of you and, like, goes around the Warden and holds the Warden down.
Just in case, son. Sorry, he's been kind of jumpy.
So he's holding him down, and you can see that the Warden is like trying to get at you with whatever he can. And as your Lesser Restoration spell fills the space of the Warden, there seems to be a calming effect on the Warden. His demeanor seems to improve, but the effects on his body doesn't seem like it has helped anything. Like, nothing disappears, but his demeanor seems to be more calm. And you can tell, like, he stops shouting and screaming and repeating kill, kill over again. And then his breath slows and he closes his eyes and just kind of looks down.
It worked, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He's not trying to kill us.
Yelling anymore, but he doesn't look like he's not undead. I don't know.
I mean, is there a way we could bring someone who's undead to not undead?
I don't think he's fully transformed, so are you okay, mate? Can you hear us?
The Marshal kind of comes around, still holding the Warden.
Braden, are you there?
The Warden looks up slightly and with eyes kind of glazed over, looking at the Marshal.
Dolman, is that you? What's going on? So good to hear your voice. I've only been hearing your screaming over and over the last few days. Kids, is it safe to leave? We need to get him some healing, some, you know, something to help improve him.
The red mist is gone, and the undead that were out there are killed. I don't know if any got away, but
it's probably
sure,
safe.
If we go with you guys, it'll be considered safe.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to make sure we all keep an eye on, what was his name, Braden? Yeah.
Well, do you know what happened here? I mean, we're supposed to find out what caused it, right? We
should. The red mist caused it.
Yeah,
we just don't know why, but...
Yeah. Did you see anybody here that shouldn't have been here? That was casting magic?
The Warden kind of, he looks down, he's shaking his head.
I'm still kind of foggy. I don't know. There's a lot of confusion. I don't remember a lot of things, but before all of this madness, there were a few, we caught a couple people along the outskirts, the outskirts of Vugtrim, I remember. And they seemed like they were in some black robes. They had wrapped themselves in chains and they just wouldn't answer any of our questions. And when we removed their masks, they had cut out their tongues so they couldn't speak.
That's pretty messed up.
Pretty cray cray.
Noob is like squeezing off right now.
Do we recognize that at all?
Well, it's pretty effective.
The description?
Yeah, like from a particular type of cult or religion or historical group.
Go ahead and make history or religion checks. All four of you can do that as he's describing this.
That one. So Zoop's just scared out of her mind.
Squeezing Alfredo.
Oh my god.
I got an 11.
Okay.
A 20.
Okay. Iggy?
Oh, I got an 8.
An 8. Okay. Rob, you know that that's a pretty good chance that that's a cult to do with some irons. But as far as placing what religion that is or what cult that is, you can't really pinpoint it.
But if I add all the factors together, like the red mist, the strange mutations, does that guide me anywhere? Or would I need to do some proper research in a library?
I think you're probably going to need to do some research, but all of it seems to be of the same nature. Like, it might be coming from the same place, all related, but as far as the name or the scenarios or anything like that, you're probably going to have to do some research what exactly that is. It all does seem to be related with the red mist, this cult wrapped in iron chains, the braziers, the madness, the chaos. It kind of all seems pretty related to each other.
Well, is there anything else we want to do in this mine then? It sounds like, is there anyone else
We needed to bring back Mithilsite.
Well, I think we found something more important. Yeah. The shipment, right? Did the shipment go missing? Did it go out?
The shipment never came.
Yeah, but did they send it out?
So the warden, you notice that the warden he's kind of looking around. He's shaking his head a lot, and it seems like he's almost in a pain now. And then he begins to repeat to himself, and almost in a whisper, and then louder.
No one passes. Every 7 days. Keep it safe. Every 7 days.
And then it begins to become more violent, and then his demeanor shifts again to...
Can I cast Remove Curse on him before it takes hold?
Yeah, and that's third level, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay. As you're casting the Remove Curse, there is again a shift change in Brayden's demeanor. Calms him down. And then you see on his chest that the mouth that has formed begins to dissipate. It becomes smaller and smaller. And then some of the graying skin comes back to his normal kind of tannish skin color. It doesn't take full effect. You can kind of ascertain now that between some lesser restoration, remove curses, and some time, he might come out of this because he wasn't in the effect of this area for as long as the other people.
Right. I think you might be okay, fella.
The warden kind of, after all of this transition and effects on his body, he slumps over and he's just quiet for a little while. The marshal turns to you and says,
we should probably get him out as soon as possible. As far as the shipment, we were looking for it when we got here. It's usually in the warehouse ready to be hauled off, but nothing remained. I found a few broken pieces, but it's all gone.
These cultists must have taken it. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, like, and keeping other people maybe from getting to more? I don't know, but the main mission is get these guys to safety. Somebody else can come back and regroup and get the missile site or whatever later, right?
I mean, it takes a few weeks to mine this stuff. Somebody came along and grabbed it, basically. So they ain't getting anywhere for a while, not with things the way they are, but...
I did find this. This was the only thing I found. And he holds up a pretty hefty size of mithilsite, and he holds it up to you.
This was all of it that I found. You can take it now if you think it'll help.
I see my eyes light up looking at this big chunk of mithilsite. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
Plus, remember the troll's also around that tree, and I really don't want to see her again.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a nasty one.
That's one way to put it.
We should probably ask the warden when he's feeling a bit better about what happened at the tree, I whisper.
Well, are any of you injured? I have one more healing potion, but, you know, I've been...
No, let's get the... Zoop
guiltily looks at Sabia, like...
I'm okay for now. I don't think I need a whole potion. Like, I'm cool.
Nah, I think I'm fine,
Zoop guiltily looks at
Iggy. All right, so is there a cart here we can maybe load him into to push him out?
Oh, yeah, I can go get you a cart.
He disappears, and then a minute later pokes his head into the mess hall and says, I got one. Well, I'll go ahead and pick him up and we can get out of here.
All right, yeah, we should probably go. I mean, I don't think there's anything else for us to find. This cult is what's responsible.
All right, he loads the Warden Brayden into the cart. You head out towards the entrance of the mine, towards the iron gates.
Wasn't there another person that was in shadows, or was that the warden?
That was the warden, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yep. And you open the gate with the mechanisms, and you are free to move the cart out towards the courtyard between the two buildings. And if you all are ready to head back to North Falls, unless you want to do anything else.
I might take a quick look in the warehouse just to see if there's any evidence that they left tracks, anything like that, of how many people took this.
Okay. And just Rob going into the warehouse?
No, I mean, I don't think he should probably go in alone. Somebody should probably go with, just to make sure there's nothing lingering.
Okay.
I'll go.
All right.
I'll send Q in first.
Okay. All right. So Q and Rob and Sibia, as you're entering into the tall stone building, you see that the front doors lead into a large open space lined with tables, shelves, and crates. A lot of the wooden furniture and boxes appear to be broken, and there's a thin layer of dust on everything, including the door. There appears to be some scuffling of footprints in the dust on the floor. Towards the back of the facility, a two-story wooden structure has been built with an ornate carved door. So you can tell from the amount of dust in here that there are several sets of footprints. Boxes and crates have been moved across the floor, as well as some sort of wheeled container to transport whatever was in this warehouse, or you can ascertain that it was Mythyl site.
Yeah, I'll take a look at the footprints, see if there's any that are non-human or distinctive or anything like that.
A lot of them just appear to be boot prints. It's not, so there doesn't appear to be any abnormal footprints. It's just kind of a lot of regular shoe and boot prints.
So just medium-sized humanoids, nothing special. Okay.
There's probably some small humanoid footprints in there, like halfling size, maybe, goblin-sized, larger footprints that could be from Goliath type or a larger humanoid. So there's varying size of boots in here. It doesn't appear to be any prints that are of creatures that don't require footwear.
And are any of the carts left, or all the carts been taken out?
The only cart is the one that is outside of the courtyard that was left there. But pretty much all the boxes and crates and wheelbarrows and such are missing or broken.
All right. Okay. Well, it's definitely as much to find here, unless you want to have a search around. Let's get back to our cart and get this poor fella back to town.
All right. Yeah, I was just making sure there wasn't any kind of something here.
Yeah, right.
Question for the party. We need to go... Well, no, we don't have enough Mythyl site, do we? Either way, to go put it in the tree. So it doesn't matter if we went back. Okay. We're going to have to hope that the tree isn't destroyed in the process.
Well, I think the thing that was in the tree that the Mythyl site was for, we kind of freed it.
Well, I know, already. But the problem is the troll wants to destroy the area because it's too pretty. And I don't know what destroy means to her.
We could go and try and take care of the troll.
Going back requires us to go through the Black Marsh with a man who's going crazy.
Yeah, I think we need to
turning into a zombie. Awesome.
Get the man to safety. Let's get the warden to safety first, and then regroup from there, I think.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll head up to our cart, which is still there, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yep, your cart is still there with the horse that was tied up and left with some barley and oats and apples and whatnot. So you tie up the horse, get everyone on the cart, and head back towards North Falls. It's probably about midday-ish, leading in towards the afternoon. As you roll into town, the sun is on its way, not is on its way to setting, but it's kind of in the very late afternoon. The marshal tells you to go over to his building, the marshal's office, and he checks in and brings the warden into the office. And then he puts the warden Brayden into a cell, a barred cell, but lays down actually more comfortably than what is there, a better looking cot with some blankets and pillows and whatnot, and just turns to you and just for safety.
Yeah, yeah. I might keep an eye on him. If he starts acting funny again, come tell me and I'll try and sort him out.
Yeah. I'll have to go get I'll see if the father can do anything. And hopefully he can do something for him.
I think he's on the mend. Yeah.
If he's if he starts talking, I'll be sure to come find you, and then we can figure out what's going on.
Yeah, because if not, if he starts talking too much, there's other ways to solve the problem.
What do you mean by that?
Zoop immediately telepathically is like, Zabia. And then just imagine all the question
it's
marks.
It's been a long day.
No, you tell me. What do you think you're going to do?
No, I'm just saying that if he goes all the way, he kind of has to get,
Zoop turns around so the back is to the
conversation. I'm not saying we would do anything before, in the state of which he is curable.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he is curable, we cure him. The rest of them sure didn't seem that was an option, though. And we had to stab them in the face.
Yeah, if he does turn fully, yeah, there's not much we can do. You're right. You could have said it a bit more diplomatically, but yeah, that's what we're saying. I'm going to shiv him for nothing.
Sibia's great with music, not with words necessarily.
If it comes to that, we'll take it on that day. But I'm not just saving a man to kill him later.
No, it's only if he turns completely. We can't save him.
You know, a last resort. I'm just letting you know that last resort could be a thing. Just keep an eye out. Protect yourself is all I'm saying. It's one thing to save somebody and another thing to lose your own self because of it.
I'll keep watch on him. We'll get a couple other people in here to keep watch on him too.
As you all are talking, Elder Somm comes into the marshal's office and he approaches.
Wow, I'm very, very, very glad you were able to find the marshal and warden. Any others? This was it?
This is unfortunately all that we found.
Yeah, all the other miners were dead, and the rest of the marshals, they were also,
Some were covered in eyes and lots of mouths, and there was a lot of, like, really bad laughter, you know.
I'm so tempted to just be like, shh.
Sounds horrendous. The Marshal Dahlman, did you see this too?
Yeah, it was bad. I'm gonna have to get a drink. Maybe two. I'm gonna have to get a dozen.
Is this the place where we ran into the rich guy, rich boy?
It's the same town, but this not the same building, the marshal's building. You have to go to the roadside inn and tavern is where you ran into.
I'm just making sure. If you get there, can you check to see if I was calling him Butt Munch? I don't remember his real name, honestly, but he's the Rupert. Snooty rich. Yeah. See, you know who I'm talking about. That's great.
Yeah.
If he's there, I kind of want to still come anyway, but he's really pissed off at us.
Nah, serves him right.
We kicked his ass.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I'd do it again, too.
Yeah, me too. It was fun.
There's been a few times I've just wanted to kick his teeth in.
It's okay. We can.
And we kind of did. It was really nice.
Elder Somm is kind of like, speaking of Lord Windridge.
Oh, right.
Lord Windridge has requested that you meet him at his manor this evening. He did let me know that he will ward if... you return, so you can collect your reward for saving the marshal and from Bugtrim. But he did request an audience and you to be there this evening.
Is this a trap?
What they said.
I will take you there personally. I will take you there. As far as I understand, I can take you there. I believe Father Pavim is still there, as well as Brig. They went there this afternoon at request of Lord Windridge as well. So you all have been kind of requested to be there this evening.
It's more of a requirement than a request.
Unfortunately, I think it is.
Do we know who Father Pavin and Brig are?
You would recall that Brig is the female that runs the tavern, roadside inn and tavern that helped you with Rubrin because he was being a douche. So
I'm totally down then.
Father Pavim, you haven't met before, but Marshal Dahlman says,
I kind of need Father Pavim to come down here and check on the warden. So, as soon as he's freed up there, he can come back here and deal with Brayden.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. So I can't beat up his son in front of him. Got it. Hopefully he is polite.
Well, we have beaten him once already. I mean,
Yeah, but did you see the death glare he gave me? It was, honestly, it was kind of impressive, but that's the only thing impressive about him was his death glare.
Physical cutdowns are probably not the way to go, but we can always just, tell him what a twat he is. I'm sure that's within reason.
Yeah, well.
I have an idea. Don't worry about it. I got it.
I should never have to worry about it. It's you.
So are you all ready to go now? Did you a little bit of time? I would say that you have, give or take an hour-ish, but,
been able to take a short rest on the way home.
Sure, on the cart, yes.
Fantastic, then I'm good.
Well, if you all are ready, you can follow me up to the Windridge Manor, if you all can.
Yeah, that's fine to me.
Okay. All right, so you're following Elder Somm up to a tall hill that overlooks the city of North Falls. The winding path leading up here has a lot of well-taken care of slender trees lining the path as you approach the Windridge Manor. The tall stone walls surrounding the estate and the iron gates open as you make your way towards this large four-story building.
building.
The manor has tall pointed roofs and four towers, and the back consists of a very large four-story main building, and there are two small single-story wings on either side of the two front towers. Six thin lines of chimney smoke can be seen as you approach, and there appear to be several workers tending gardens and orchards on the grounds, and about half a dozen well-armored guards in front of the entrance. As you approach, Elder Somm speaks with one of the guards and then leads you through a large courtyard through a massive pair of ornate wooden doors. And inside is just as lavish as the exterior. Ornate carvings and silver decorations seem to be everywhere you look, and Elder Somm leads you up a flight of curving stairs, down a hallway, and into a large room. Sitting in front of a massive fireplace is an older gentleman with salt and pepper hair and beard, bright blue eyes, and wearing formal white, silver, and blue attire. Next to him sits Rubrin Redtoe Windridge, grinning ear to ear. And sitting next to Rubrin is a slender man in long white and gold with paler skin, slicked back, long black hair, and green eyes. And you can assume that this is a father, what's his face? Father Pavum, sorry. So you can assume that this is Father Pavum. And then sitting opposite them at a long table is Brig. Elder Somm takes a seat next to Brig and then motions you to sit down at the table.
Oh.
I sit down across from Buttmunch.
Okay. He just looks at you and is kind of sneering.
I look unfazed.
Okay.
Zoop lets Alfredo take her seat.
And you're standing?
I'm standing behind her.
Okay. Right.
Is there any food?
There is not any food.
Yeah.
The older gentleman stands up, says, "I am Lord Windridge, and this manor is mine. I own most of the land around here, and I do have to thank you for rescuing the marshal and figuring out what's going on in Vugtrum and taking care of the warden. I've already heard news of it. So your reward is here with me, but there's some matters we have to attend to before I give you your reward. As I hear, there's been an altercation with my son."
Has there been?
Don't remember that.
Oh,
was the altercation when he grabbed a woman who didn't consent? Because I remember that happening.
Yeah, he was being a dick, basically. Yeah.
Oh my god. Sabi is just gonna sit there with her lips pressed super tight together while staring at Iggy.
Rubin looks over at his father and he's like, "See?" And then Lord Windridge, like, he just basically shakes his head and just stop.
Oh no.
The altercation happened when a fight broke out in the roadside inn and tavern, and you basically knocked out a bunch of Rubrin's friends.
Who attacked us.
And then killed somebody.
They attacked us.
Basically, he's like, "Guys, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me."
They were using lethal force against us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was self-defense.
We were protecting a woman's innocence, and then he was the one that stood up, and he was the one that got all of his friends involved with the four of us. We didn't start anything except to tell him to stop touching someone that he shouldn't be touching.
And you in no way started this altercation by physical contact?
No.
No, no, no. Also, like, who said someone died? Nobody died.
Seriously, just out of character. Oh, shut the fuck up.
The father looks over at Zoop and is like, I saw the body. He was dead.
Interesting. Before, like, maybe that was not our fault, though. You're really eager to pin the blame on innocent people.
Those guys drew swords on us. We had to fight back. Unfortunately, one of them died. That's what happens when you draw swords on someone.
No one died.
Look, this is a civilized town. You can't just go around
touching women
people
when they don't want you to touch them. Yeah, that's
I would
kinda
have you be quiet right now. I will remove you by force if needed.
I didn't even want to be here.
Then why don't you leave?
Because you asked us to come because we did a thing that we were supposed to do. Just like when you see a woman being harassed, you stop the harassment. That's just common decency, yeah?
I'm trying to ascertain.
I can explain.
What happened here? I'm taking both sides. And then
honestly, but I would
I'm happy to tell the story.
Yeah, Iggy's got it.
Zoop whispers to Iggy mentally, don't say that I killed the guy. Like, I can't live with that.
I ignore the message.
They know that we killed the guy. Zoop kind of
like, Iggy.
I heard
don't
you.
Don't tell them I killed him.
Well, it happened and there were loads of witnesses. We can't really avoid that, but yeah.
Lord Windridge points to Iggy. You want to speak?
I would love to.
Then do so.
I was trying.
He sits down, and then he turns over to his son. He says, shut your mouth. Get that ridiculous grin off your face. And then he looks over towards you.
Rubrin here, your son, was at the diner as we walked in because we were sent here by the Seaborn Academy to come and save people that were from this town and miners. So we stopped here for the night, and lo and behold, what do we see as soon as we walk in? Your son is grabbing onto one of the waitresses at this fine establishment. He, while pulling her, got ale knocked over onto him, and then immediately looked at us when we told him to stop touching her, thinking we did it, which we did not. We purely asked him to stop touching the poor woman, who specifically asked him to let her go so she could go do her job. He then stood up. He then also threatened us with his friends. We merely defended ourselves.
He holds up a finger in front of you and then looks over to Brig. Brig, can you confirm what this girl is saying? Brig stands up. She's incredibly tall. She's like 7.5 feet tall, so she dwarfs everybody else in this room. Says, what she is saying is true. Rubrin was being very physical with Sasha. I told him several times to stop. He was not listening. And when this group decided to involve themselves, he decided to take more aggressive action. Now, I know he's hot-headed. I know that he can be a piece of work. I can't say that I've ever seen him kill anybody or be aggressive to the point of killing somebody. So was he flashing around his weapons and trying to just intimidate them? Maybe. But someone had to do something and perform self-defense. Lord Windridge holds up a finger again. And then he turns to Rubrin. Get up, son. And then Rubrin gets up. Stand over there. And then Lord Windridge stands up as Rubrin comes across the table, a little bit farther away from the table that you are at. Rubrin, you lied to me. You said that they threw the first punch. You said that all you were doing was hanging out with friends and having a good time. What's the matter with you, son? You're gonna do some work. I am tired, so tired of you taking advantage of your position here. You are going to go work in the fields with your so-called friends. Maybe 30 days, maybe 60 days. I don't care. You come back to me and I'll tell you if it's okay. But if I catch you anywhere near the roadside again, there's going to be hell to pay. And in fact, maybe I should send you off after your grounding that I'm doing. Maybe you should learn something from these four individuals from Seaborn Academy, and maybe I'll send you to school instead. You don't need any private tutors anymore. I think maybe it would be good for you to learn from the other students of the Seaborn Academy.
I don't know if he would be a great fit there.
I think
honestly,
he would be.
We're very artistic.
I think I can show maybe, him some arts.
Maybe one of the other schools is much better.
Yeah, Rubrin kind of interjects. He's like, yeah, not Seaborn, please. Maybe the Arcanum. The Arcanum's great. I have a couple friends that went there. I could go there. Son, you go where I tell you to go. Get out of here. Get out of here now. And then Rubrin just like, he looks back at his father and looks so dejected. And then he looks over to you, Iggy, and he just throws daggers at you. And then he just mouths, he just mouths, this was your fault, and then just takes off out of the room.
I just like point, no, it was your fault.
Sevilla looks stoked. Sevilla's like, that's great. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Oh yeah, I want him there.
Lord Windridge sits down and he pulls up the bag of coins that is supposed to be your reward. That son of mine, I'm sorry. I try to love him as best as I can, but he can be such an asshole. And I don't know how I've loved him. I think it's just been It's been too much, I guess. Just not enough to get him some real learning of the world. He's too sheltered. So, it's an unfortunate circumstance, but I am glad that you showed him that he can still get his ass kicked.
Well, I think if he's among people that don't treat him, you know, like he is a lord, then he'll learn pretty quick. Seaborn's a place that happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of rich people there that are probably richer than he is, honestly. So he's gonna just not understand what it's like to be the richest person anymore. And a lot of the people who are rich don't rub it into people's faces. I mean, honestly, I'm pretty sure my parents own more money than he ever will, but like, I don't rub it in.
What's your last name?
Fryn.
Who are your parents?
I mean, you probably don't know them. They're on a boat.
But they're richer than me.
Yeah, because they're on a boat. They have a business, a famous circus, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
it wasn't an insult to you. It was a commentary in general that people who have money don't necessarily have to be dicks.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
She's thinking, but they still make more money than me.
There are plenty of other noble houses and lords, especially the Seaborns, that make more money than I do. All I do is provide some operations and food and for Myth Daywin as well as North Falls. So I understand. I was just curious where you're from, who your parents were.
They own the Dream Circus. I'm sure you've heard of it.
I have heard of the Dream Circus. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the Dream Circus is coming to Myth Daywin, if I heard correctly.
It sounds like something my father would do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Founders Day for Myth Daywin is coming up, so I'm sure that they're there for the celebrations.
What day is that on?
I believe it's in about 4 days.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll have to go say hi.
Yeah, awesome. Well, in regards to your reward, and there was a 1,000 gold, I believe, that we were going to give you for rescuing the marshal and seeing what was going on in Vugdrum. Unfortunately, there has been a death that you have caused, your party has caused. Usually the payment of that death, 500 gold, needs to go to the family of that person. But unfortunately, Brooks was orphaned as a small child.
Oh my God.
And he's been working for me for the past 16 years. I think you took up some sort of donations, if I do recall. Elder Somm has given me about 100 gold, I believe, you had given for the family of Brooks. So I'll take that into account. So I'll just be reducing your reward money by 400 gold because, in fact, I'm out of a worker, you know, so that money, you know, has to go towards finding another worker for the estate here. So I am gracious to give you 600 gold for your services to Vugdrum and North Falls.
Dreams. Sounds completely fair.
Yep. Like,
telepathically. He was an orphan?
What about Vugdrum, though? Vugdrum's... I assume you don't own Vugdrum, right?
No, I do not own Vugdrum. That is a dwarven house that owns Vugdrum, but we have a good relations with the house. So the miners that are associated with Vugdrum, a lot of them are residents of North Falls. So having a good relationship between Vugdrum and North Falls is very important for this community. We will do some investigating of what happened here, and some reports will be made to the Dwarven Houses, as well as the Seaborns, the Seaborn House. So that is kind of yet to do for later tomorrow and this week, but it is a great service that you've done trying to get these mines back open. I believe that a lot of the mithril site needed to go to Myth Daywin as anyway. Hopefully that was found and you're going to be delivering it.
That was not found. That was stolen.
Okay, well, someone taking advantage, presume. Anyway, if you would like, you can stay for a meal, or you can go back to the Roadside Inn and Tavern free of charge. Of course, I'll be paying for all of your fees just for your great services, or you can have a meal here at the manor if you would like, and I'll have the chefs cook something for you if you would like.
I think we've got some things to talk about back at the inn, right, guys? Next steps.
Yeah, sounds fair. It was lovely meeting you. You were very nice. Intimidating a little bit, but very nice. But that comes with your position.
Yes. You know, I do appreciate what Seaborn is doing. So I appreciate what the students of Seaborn have done in the past. So I wish you well. I hope that your journey back to Mithdaewin is of no further problems.
The grin, is that just you, Tony, or is that the guy? Is he also grinning with a little smirk on his face? Because I would insight check him if that's the case.
Yeah, we'll say that he's grinning as well.
I'm insight checking him then.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's sensible.
15.
15. I think he's just trying to be clever. Okay. Just typical snob noble.
Okay, not a threat though.
Yeah, not a threat. Brig and Elder Som actually take their leave with you, and Father Pavum stays behind to speak a little bit longer with Lord Windridge, but Elder Som does tell him that his services are needed at the Marshal's office. You all head down to the center of North Falls and arrive at the Roadside Inn and Tavern into a fairly empty tavern. There's only a couple patrons there. Sasha is back to work, and as soon as Brig comes in, you know, she livens up and is happy that the tavern owner is back, and you are free to do what you need to do.
I was going to ask something. As we're leaving, though, as we're outside, I'm going to cast clairvoyance on the room inside and just monitor the conversation between the father and the noble, just see if they're saying anything interesting.
Okay. So as you cast the spell, your spell device appears on the outside. You get a glimpse of the interior of it, and then there's a sharp pop, and then it disperses.
Interesting. Oh.
And you can probably ascertain that that room is a meeting room for Lord Windridge, and it's probably magically guarded for privacy.
Makes sense.
Okay, I won't mention it.
So up in your room, which is now, you actually got four separate rooms per the instructions from Lord Windridge. So in your separate room now, Iggy, you can cast your commune spell. As Q holds your hand, you are once again transported into this very serene white base that is filled with like kind of this pool of water. And as you're standing on it, it kind of ripples out. And then you notice that above in the sky, there's just this cracking of magical energy as it weaves itself together, making these kind of spider-like effects within the sky. And the visage of the feminine figure appears in front of you. As you're looking at the figure, it seems like your vision has been unlocked a little bit, and where the flowing dress, the white dress, it is replaced with almost like a folded angelic wings. Like the dress has become a part of the body with the folded wings in front of her body. And then where the blindfold was, there is another set of smaller wings that have kind of enveloped her eyes, that are covering her eyes now. And then back behind her, there's not an outstretched, but like her back has a set of longer and angelic. So you can kind of see that there's now three sets of wings on this figure. And she stands there waiting for your question.
Love the look. That looks really badass. So I don't know how much you saw about what's going on, but I have a couple of questions. First, what can I call you? Can you answer that?
I'm going to give you two names. That's due. I want to make sure that I have the right nickname.
And she'll just like keep rambling while you're searching. Because okay. I was thinking about it, and you told me who you work for, and you told me I know who that is, but like that doesn't tell me, I can't just say, hey, the person who works for the Lady of Spells, that just doesn't roll off the tongue. You have your own personality and your own person.
So she looks at you and she says, you can call me the Watcher, Zophael.
That's actually really funny, because there was a person person that said that they worshipped the opener. So it's weird. It's like opener, the watcher. It's weird. Okay. So second question. Sorry, I'm not used to talking to you yet. So the attack that happened on the city with the red mist and like causing these creatures to all become zombies, there was a person there that had this weird tattoo that is associated to the Wailing Queen. Is the Wailing Queen the reason why the red mist is happening?
There are people on the Wailing Queen that are involved with the Chaos Curse.
The Chaos Curse. Oh, that's new. Okay, fantastic. I don't know if you would be able to tell future stuff, but is the Seaborn Academy next on the Chaos Curse's plans? Because that's what I'm getting visions of.
Visions and the future is ever-turning and uncertain. The visions that have been given to you are a way for you to turn the fate.
Fantastic. So no pressure whatsoever. And I know I don't technically get another question. That's going to mean that I'm going to keep having nightmares, though, because like things are always going to be happening that are bad. Great. Awesome. I mean, you know, I know you can't answer. It's been lovely talking to you, honestly. Hopefully one day you can ask me questions. That'd be great. You should go to the circus. My dad's circus is going to be in town. Even if you're just like not visible, say.
There's like a lot of, you know, the body language that she's giving you is just one of, you know, if I wish we could talk more, but this is all that we can do. Mm-hmm. I enjoy your kind of rambling and banter and jumping from one thing to another. It's very cute, but...
Okay, that's all I have for today. I will have more tomorrow, I promise. See you then.
And you feel the emotion of, I hope you sleep well with what is given to you.
Don't anticipate it happening.
And then your commune ends, and Q is there holding your hands again, and you know, she's just kind of smiling at you, and said, I'm glad that we can do this.
Yeah, but now I have so many more questions.
Well, I hope that I can help you answer those questions in time.
He doesn't have a name now. Also, I think my dad surprises that he's going to be in fucking Daewin. Out of character, is that where Seaborn Academy is?
Yes.
Of course. Oh, well, at least I get to see family again.
All right. Well, as all of you get into your night's rest, and as Iggy falls into her trance, once again, the nightmare that has followed her for the past few months comes back into her mind. There's still that shift that there's something that Iggy can do about it, so there's still hope, but it is still there, and it still might be a little bit disturbing as you wake up the next morning, and we'll go ahead and continue next time.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Adventure Academia. We will be back every 2 weeks with another episode. Please check in the description below for details on where to find our DM and players online. If you enjoy this show, please also check out the other shows for Beholder to No One, with discussions every Monday with the TTRPG community and one-shots on the opposite Thursdays. Please check out Beholder to No One on Twitter to see what other fun things the show is doing. And join our Discord if you're interested in talking to the party or just hanging out. See you then. Bye.